DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Mark Brumley, who is the president of the Board of Directors of Guadalupe Associates and chief executive officer for Ignatius Press. He oversees the online magazines for Ignatius Press, is project coordinator for the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, and is editor of Ignatius Press's Modern Apologetics Library, and a study guide for Joseph Ratzinger's Jesus of Nazareth. He's also the associate publisher of IgnatiusInsight.com. With Mark Brumley, we go inside the pages of Cardinal Christoph Schoenborn's book, To Know Jesus as the Christ, published by Ignatius Press. Mark, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
We have the opportunity to talk about the work by Cardinal Schoenborn. Tell us who he is and why reading him is really a wonderful gift for those who will enter into his teachings.
Well, Cardinal Schoenborn is the Archbishop of Vienna and also a theologian of note. He's a Dominican from Dominican background. He is a former student of Joseph Ratzinger. He is under Ratzinger, who was Pope Benedict XVI, the primary editor for the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Ratzinger, of course, was the editor-in-chief, and then he worked with people, you know, to put together the Catechism, and Cardinal Schoenborn was sort of the key person who was responsible for the Catechism at that level, I mean, on the practical level. And he is a prolific author and a great bishop and pastor in the Catholic Church. So there's a lot that can be said just about his biography. We've published, I don't know how many of his books over the years, and he has this knack for being, you know, solid in theology, certainly, but also of kind of making it accessible to people. So that's a little bit about Cardinal Schoenborn.
Well, just on a personal note about him, he seems, when you read about him in the Catholic press or watch different things in which he participates with his community, he is who Pope Francis describes as that bishop who smells like his sheep. I mean, he really knows his people and what's going on in their hearts.
Yeah, he's a kind of multifaceted in that he's, you know, certainly a first-rate theologian. I wouldn't in any way want to leave the impression about what I'm about to say that he isn't. But on the other hand, he is immensely kind of pastoral. It's kind of a weird situation that we're in today that oftentimes what's pastoral is set at odds to what is, you know, doctrinal, theological. And all of the recent popes have underscored the fact that, no, those two things should go together. If you have doctrine right, you should be pastoral. And to be pastoral, you have to get your doctrine right. So those are two things that go together. And he does a good job of exemplifying that. And it's that pastoral dimension where he smells like the sheep. You know, you can tell here's a man who is interested in knowing what the people are thinking and how they're living. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, like any good pastor, he's not going to say, well, this is what the people want, therefore let's give them what they want. He's going to go back to God's word and say, you know, what has God revealed about himself and about us in relation to him? And then how do we help people make the connection between what they think they want and what God is calling them to and what God has done for them? And so he does a good job of that in his various works, but especially in this book, To Know Jesus as the Christ. There's a real good connection between what people need, which isn't always what they want, and what God has revealed and communicated.
The subtitle of the book is very revealing in itself. It's Incentives for a Deeper Faith. So even the word incentives, it's one of those things that in that relationship of faith where God reveals himself, we also have to respond. And
right. It
as these nuggets contained within To Know Jesus as the Christ, it really does kind of ignite that desire in our hearts, that incentive for a deeper faith.
Well, it's interesting because there are different ways you can approach evangelization and catechesis. And one approach is to sort of put things out there and almost demand that the hearer respond in the way that you want. Now, as a general rule, that's probably not the best way to go about evangelization or catechesis, but sometimes it's effective, and it depends on your audience and so on. But this use of the term incentive, I think that's very interesting, because the assumption is that you have somebody who is trying to, maybe in an inappropriate way, or to some degree in an appropriate way, say, what's in this for me? You know, what, in an inappropriate way, that can articulate, you know, can express a kind of selfish perspective. But in an appropriate way, it could say, you know, what's the good here? You know, what's the good thing here? I've got a lot of things going on in my life, lots of responsibilities, lots of good things I can pursue. Why should I take the time, not just to read this book, but to think more deeply about Jesus as the Christ? And incentives kind of expresses that. You know, what's the good here that's to be obtained by my doing that? So I think that it's in itself is an interesting approach to understanding Jesus and coming to know him better. Not seeing Jesus as a lot of people do. They see knowing Jesus and knowing him better, understanding the church's faith, as kind of a burden. I mean, sometimes people don't do it because they see it as burdensome or of no value. And other times they do it because they think, well, I'm supposed to do this. And that's, you know, that's better than not doing it, of course. But doing it out of a kind of sense of mere obligation isn't really to enter deeply into relationship with God or understand Jesus. Doing it out of a sense of, well, this is what I'm made for. This is really for me. It's not just something that someone is imposing on me, an obligation or a set of responsibilities. Now, of course, we know that being fallen people, we go through dry spells and spiritually desert periods where the sense of obligation may be all we have, but that's not really kind of the deep level of Christian living. You go through desert periods because you want to come to those oases of faith and so on. So it's really the whole picture. And I think that's probably what Cardinal Schönborn is trying to get here at with the subtitle, using the language of incentive.
It should be said that his writing style, while it contains such riches, it's perfect for those who want to have a read it's not light, and it's not maybe as deep in the well, shall we say, as Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI. It's a happy medium, and it's very engaging.
Yeah. The thing I like about it is it's very bite-sized. So I've been kind of reading through different passages here for Lent, and the thing I notice is, and I do a lot of reading of different kinds. You know, sometimes I, extended reading where you're trying to read more deeply and really kind of grapple with a subject. But, you know, a lot of the reading I do, you know, needs to be kind of daily reading, and even for my own spiritual benefit. And the thing I like about this book is that it has these little sections where, you know, it's two pages, page and a half, maybe three pages at max, before you get to another little subdivision or topic. And so it's great for just that daily morning reflection or evening reflection before bed, where you don't have to, you know, you want something of substance. You don't just want to kind of pat me on the back, but you also don't necessarily have a lot of time or the mental space to go in really deep to the subject. And so that's as you say, it's a kind of happy medium.
Can it be said that the most important thing in the life of a Christian is to know Jesus as the Christ, not just as a historical figure that lived a long time ago or whatever perception that we may have, but we have to really, especially as the adult Catholic, have a firm understanding as Jesus, as Christ.
Absolutely. And there were probably, I think that the book talks about this in the context of talking about, you know, dogma and doctrine and things of that sort. And he does a good job of balancing things out, because this is a kind of an overview. In some ways, it's sort of an overview of the creed and the basics of Christian faith. And he's stressing, by doing this, I mean, he's stressing key doctrinal points, the stuff, if you want, that's in the creed. But he's very careful to balance that out so that you understand, so that the reader understands, this isn't just about knowing stuff. This is about faith, as you know, he uses the expression faith as the experience of the triune God. So actually knowing God in that deeply personal sense. So God isn't just an object of the intellect, of the mind, but he is something desired by the heart. So that full biblical sense of knowing, and knowing Jesus, as you say, not just as a historical figure. Obviously, that's important. And I would say not just as a sort of doctrinal figure, someone about whom we have all these various beliefs. That's important, too. But someone who is a person I have a deep relationship with, not just something I know about, or even someone I know about, but someone I know. I have this daily relationship with, and I know things about him. And I know things about him in a way that helps me to know him better. So that's a very deep level of knowing. And unfortunately, I think it's often the case that in the Christian life, we don't allow ourselves to know Jesus that deeply. Some of us, you know, we're very busy, or we think we're busy, and we don't take the time to just learn the basics of our faith, and that's a tragedy. And we get by with just a kind of very minimal relationship with God. We need to go to the next step and know our faith better, and use in the knowing of our faith, that can afford us the opportunity to know Jesus more deeply. Frank Sheed has this great line where he talks about the Trinity and understanding. Obviously, we can't comprehend the Trinity, but we can understand it more and more and better and better. And he said, you know, we should approach it as we know more about God as Trinity, we know more things about him to love, and therefore to grow into our relationship with him more deeply. And I'd say the same thing about knowing Jesus as the Christ, you know, studying scripture, reading about what Jesus says and does in the Gospels. You know, that can be a kind of knowing a lot more about him. But we need to make sure that we know him as the Christ, that is to say, as the Anointed One, not just about the doctrine of what it means to call Jesus the Christ, but what does it mean to enter into a personal daily relationship with him, with the one who is the Christ. I kind of said a lot about that, but I think it's a key point.
Oh, I think it is, and I'm going to, again, just paraphrase from the book, essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but for Cardinal Schoenborn, if we don't have a full appreciation of the nature of Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God, then really Paul doesn't make sense. I mean, we can read Paul, but it doesn't really penetrate us and understand what he's trying to teach us unless we have that sense of that Galatians 2:20. It's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me, essentially by virtue of our baptism.
Absolutely. I mean, this is really talking about this sort of mystical union with Christ, but not in the sense that this is somehow reserved only for those who are, say, in religious life or something like that. This is just what it means to be a Christian, to ordinary Christian living. He uses this expression early on when he's talking about what he's setting out to do in the book. And it's in the chapter, God is One and God is Triune. It's subtitled The Catechetical Way. And, you know, catechesis, well, that's a kind of a fancy word for teaching. And we might think of, well, teaching is just learning about something. But he makes the point that that we are baptized into Jesus, and he even uses the word plunged into his life. So for the Catholic or for the Christian, to be a Christian is to be plunged, you know, through baptism into Jesus' life. And so that really means we enter his life, he enters our life, and that studying about him is part of discipleship. It's, again, it's not just learning a thing. It's more like learning a way of life. If you think of the image of somebody who becomes a tradesman and he goes out and studies a trade, well, that trade is not just, it's not just a set of ideas that he has in his brain. It becomes his daily living, not only the way he makes a living, but what he does every day, how he thinks about life and so on. Well, in a certain sense, as Cardinal Schönborn mentions here, we're catechesis is discipleship training, the way that trade training is, you know, the tradesman learning his trade. Well, discipleship is to learning about Jesus is to affect our lives in a similar way. So that it affects what we do every day and how we live, how we act, and so on. So that's really kind of how Cardinal Schönborn sees catechesis about Jesus. And so there's this kind of external how we act, but then the internal. And this is really something that we have to kind of open ourselves up to. We can't take control of the process itself. He says, to know Jesus as the Christ is therefore not something we can simply learn through a lot of studying, through precise historical research. Really, to know Jesus is a gift from God. After Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This means you did not arrive at it by yourself. It does not come from your own cleverness. Rather, my Father who is in heaven revealed it." It was the same with the Apostle Paul. When he thinks back on how he came to know Jesus, when Jesus suddenly revealed himself to him, and he recognized who this Jesus of Nazareth really was, he says later in retrospect about this conversion, "But when he who set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his Son to me, I did not confer with flesh and blood." So he's making the point that the knowing Jesus is the Christ is the effect of God's giving this gift of faith and gift of our relationship. It's not something that we can manipulate and control. And that likewise, in growing in our knowledge of Jesus, it's something we have to receive. That's what a gift is. A gift is something you receive. You can't control the giving of the gift. But God has told us, you know, if we're disposed, if we open ourselves up to him, he will give us this gift. And the gift that, the most important gift, the gift that's the basis for all other gifts that we get or we can receive, is the gift of his Son and knowing his Son.
I just want to reiterate for those who are listening that to really be able to appreciate this work, to know Jesus as the Christ, as with so many other books that you put out, Mark, through Ignatius Press, to be able to answer those kinds of questions, to kind of engage in that learning and that catechesis, is to read them, but then also to take that time to enter into prayer and that quiet and let it kind of break open in your heart to be able to receive what it is that yes. the Father is bringing to you. So it's a twofold type of thing. Just to sit down and read a book is important, but it won't increase your faith or anything like that. You have to sit back and let the Father work with the information he's giving you to help you break that open. Am I making yeah. sense?
Yes, you are. I think it's a very helpful point. I think we have books and works. I mean, we publish some. Other publishers publish some as well that are very popular, and they're sort of at my immediate level. I understand them right out of the gate, and they're good and helpful. And then some books we publish some. Other publishers publish some too. are things which you really need to mull over and open yourself to think a little bit about. And I even say, you know, take a pencil and prayerfully, you know, jot down some thoughts that come to you as you're praying after you've read the chapter, and ask yourself, well, how, having read this, what is God saying to me about how to live this out in my life? I think that's an important discipline or practice that we Catholic readers can acquire. And I find in my own life that it's very transformative, that I don't just read and learn stuff from a book, as important as that is, but I start to learn things for living and how I approach my daily walk with God.
The particular chapter where this really, really comes into play is that third section of the book, What Does Divine Providence Mean? God's goodness and the problem of evil. Because, I mean, you can have that, to know Jesus as the Christ, we can have that interior movement, but then the world comes at us, doesn't it?
It sure does, yeah. And there's a section in there, I mean, that's the title of that third section, but there's a subsection called Everything is in God's Hands. Mm-hmm. And he does a great job of going through, I think it's four different passages of Scripture. You know, Isaiah's encounter with the Lord as being sort of the master of all things. Then the story of his mother Hannah and Samuel, and her suffering and how the Lord brought about all these things through that. And then the book of Job, of course, which is, you know, the locus classicus for grappling with the issue of suffering and God's will. And then Jesus himself, especially in Gethsemane, especially on the cross, and being able to accept God's will without becoming sort of passive and indifferent. So there's an active receptivity to God's will, including his will in things that we encounter that are, you know, that lead to suffering. So that's an important topic. You know, he goes through and he talks about that there's a plan. It may not seem like it at times, and that God is able to bring good even out of evil, and that we have to have this fundamental disposition of trust. You know, he gives some theological principles, but this is a very practical, down to earth, day by day, walk by, you know, walking the walk presentation.
And it, of course, it's going to lead us ultimately to knowing Jesus as the Christ is to understand the body of Christ. He takes us into that whole ecclesiology of who are we? How is the church manifested? How is Christ manifested in the world through the church?
Yes, and actually I thought his section on the church was fascinating. Of course, he goes immediately, I mean, what precedes it is the question of, well, salvation, how are we saved, and through Jesus alone, and so on. But then he immediately starts talking about the church, the one church and the many denominations. And of course, Cardinal Schönborn is, you know, he's ecumenically sensitive. He's not going to, he doesn't approach the subject, you know, like a ramrod or something. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's very clear, and it's a great discussion on the relationship between the Catholic Church and various other Christian groups, churches and ecclesial bodies and all of that. What does that mean as we all try to follow Jesus and, you know, the search for Christian unity. So that's a very potent section.
I wish we had more time to be able to talk about this particular book on its own more, but I do have to bring up the fact that he does a beautiful job on Mary. How wonderful. You can't talk about Jesus as the Christ and not talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right. Yeah, he integrates that conversation very well. And, you know, he anticipates objections that many Protestants will have. You know, well, how, you know, does Mary's role in salvation history undermine the the mediatorship of Jesus, and you know, how can we see her as having any significant role? So, of course, that follows after he's already talked about Jesus, but he does a very good job of responding to those questions.
Mark Brumley, thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Chris.
With Mark Brumley, we've gone inside the pages of To Know Jesus as the Christ, authored by Cardinal Christoph Schoenborn. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for its publisher, Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to DiscerningHearts.com. This has been a production of DiscerningHearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.